Richard informed me tonight that he listens to every word. You know what I learned about people, Brother Richard? That sin is what we don't do. So you let that sink in for a little while. Sin is what we don't do. Oh, boy. All right. Psalms, what did I say, 89? Okay, 98. I was thinking 89, but I was having a dyslexic moment there. Psalm 98. And I'm going to read a couple things to you before we read that. I want you to go there. And I want to... you know, I love to read the Psalms. You want me to put that on?
I'll stay
down here. Yes. I want to... kind of bring your attention to a couple different psalms this evening. I'm going to use a little bit of scriptures from Psalm 88, and then we're going to read just a few verses from Psalm 95, and then our text tonight is going to be from Psalm 98. But let me ask this question. Have you ever been discouraged? I mean, discouragement is one of Satan's biggest tools to defeat God's people. Amen? You know, and he'll use just about anything to try to discourage you. You know, might use your health, might use another person, you know, how maybe they act toward you, maybe a family member, maybe some circumstances, whether it be financial or otherwise. But old Satan can use many things to bring discouragement. You know, it seems like these days, and especially maybe the last 2 or 3 weeks, a lot of people have been sick, affected with this old, I call it crud. That's I don't know if that's a good word to say from the pulpit. But, you know, a lot of folks have been sick lately, and you know, when you don't get better, you get discouraged. Amen. And Psalm 88 sort of talks about an individual who has had a physical problem. Some say maybe he had I don't forget what it's called, that you get the boils all over your body. What is that called? Leprosy, maybe. Maybe it was some other ailment, but... anyways, you can kind of get the idea as you begin to read Psalm 88 of how discouraged the writer is. And I want to read some of that, not to discourage people, but to set the stage for the text that we're going to use this evening. The psalmist here says, "O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee, incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit of the darkness in the depths. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy ways." Selah. Now, that's kind of discouraging right there, isn't it? Kind of gives you the idea that, boy, he's really down in the dumps. And, you know, we couldn't have sung a better song when we started the... service off, or as we was finishing singing there for the offering, we sang "Count Your Blessings." You know, I love that song. The first verse goes like this: "When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed." How often do you feel that way? Feel like life's treating you a little rough? And it says, "When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost." Usually when we get an attitude of discouragement, it begins to defeat us very quickly, doesn't it? Then he says, "Count your many blessings, Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Isn't that good? You know, when we can come to the place where we get our eyes off of ourselves, no matter how bad things may look, many times if we just look at our circumstances or the things that we're going through, not through our eyes, but through the eyes of our Savior, things can begin to look up a little bit. Amen? And the psalmist in Psalm 95 writes this, and this is going to lead us into our text. Psalm 98, he says this. He says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." He says, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." I want to talk to you for just a few moments about singing a new song. And this is the topic, I believe, that we see here in Psalm 98. He says in the beginning of Psalm 98, the psalmist writes this, "O sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All the earth make a loud noise, and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the harp, or with the harp and the voice of the psalm. With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for He commandeth, for He cometh to judge the earth, and the righteousness shall He judge the world and the people with equity." Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity to be here this evening. And Lord, just help us as we take for just a few moments and speak about this joy that we are to look forward to. And Father, I pray that you just encourage us this evening and be with us as we look to your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. I remember many years ago, I may have told you this already, when I was pastoring my first church, there was a lady that was in this church. Her name was Mrs. Dotson, and I remember she had a lung problem, never smoked a cigarette in her life or anything like that, but she had a lung disease, and she lived to be a pretty good age, and it finally came to the time when it looked like she was going to pass on. And I can remember as a young pastor being called into her home several times, and she being near death, and I would go up to her and talk with her and pray with her, and I'd say, "Miss Dotson," I'd say, "how are you doing today?" Knowing that she was laying on that bed, knowing that she could at any moment breathe her last breath, she would say these words, "Very well, thank you." I'll never forget that. Even the very night, I remember she died, I believe it was on a Christmas Eve, or died the night before that. We actually preached her funeral on Christmas Eve. But I remember... Got to stay behind this, don't I? That's going to be hard. I remember going to see her the very night that she died and asked her that very same question. "Miss Dotson, how are you doing?" "Very well, thank you." And I have learned, you know, at that point in my ministry, I had no earthly idea how a person could speak with such joy. And by the way, always smile. Always smile. Even the very night that she passed, always smile. And I began to wonder and think about that. And as a young man in the ministry, that was confusing to me. But as I've grown older and gotten closer to the Lord, I've begun to understand that quite well. how one can have joy in their life no matter what kind of circumstances they're going through. And one of the reasons is because of the wonderful hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And for what is to come. You know, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves getting discouraged over politics. How many of you follow politics? Raise your hand. If we're not careful, we can get discouraged over that, can't we? If we're not careful, we can get discouraged over the economy. Now, let me ask you this. Is there anybody here that's not a little worried about their money? Amen? So it's easy to get discouraged over money. Amen? It's easy to get discouraged over family matters. I've got 5 children. I'm going to tell you. It seems like one of my kids gives me something to worry about all the time. I know I've given my mom and dad stuff to worry about plenty. Amen? And so that can discourage you. There's all kinds of circumstances that can discourage us. But praise God, when we think about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we think about what's in store for us in the future as Christians, well, I'll tell you what, that can put a smile on our face. Amen? I should say this, that should put a smile on our face. You know, we work around the houses that we live in. We look at the way that they decay and fall apart. But let me ask another question. Is there anybody here that lives in a house that doesn't have to be worked on? Raise your hand. It's probably not too common, right? Seems like all the time, every time I walk in the door, my wife had the flapper in the toilet needs to be replaced. Or, honey, there's a window that has gone bad. Or the door don't shut like it once used to shut. Something has changed, or there's something that needs to be repaired. Why? Because it's deteriorating. Amen? Everything that we have you ever bought a new car? Did you notice something about a new car? Don't stay new very long, does it? It's not long before a new car needs to be worked on. Amen? Discouraging. Those things can be discouraging. But I'll tell you, when we begin to look at life not based on what we're going through here on this earth, but based on what we get to look forward to after we leave this place, that can put a joyful smile on your face. Amen? And that's why we as Christians can sing a new song, especially, hopefully, I am speaking to the Christians tonight, and hopefully everybody I'm talking to here tonight is saved. If you're not saved, what a wonderful time to get saved. Amen? Right now. Invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. Let Him change your life. But look here at Psalm 98, verse 1. We want to ask the question, what should we sing? What should we sing? He answers that here in verse 1. He says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory." Now, I'll tell you, what a wonderful thing to think about the Lord Jesus Christ and the way that He is our very help in our time of need. Amen? The way that He leads us through life and helps us, and the very fact that we're going to be able to spend time with Him throughout all eternity when we leave this place. You think about the Scriptures where He tells us in the book of John where He has gone to prepare a place for you and I. And I'm looking forward to getting acquainted with that place. Amen? I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to those streets of gold. I'm looking forward to gates of pearl. I'm looking forward to all those things we've seen in the Word of God. I mean, those are the type of things, if we as Christians can learn to have a perspective on life based on the fact that we're a Christian and not based on the fact that we live in an old, rusty, worn-out world that's just getting worse and worse. I think the preacher has said it several times since I've been coming here. He said this, and I can quote him almost verbatim. He says, "I want to tell you something. It ain't getting better." Right? And it's not. I mean, the economy is not shaping up to... And you know, if you think about it, if you really get down and study the Word of God, it's kind of shaping up the way the Bible tells us it's going to shape up. I mean, the one world governments, we're getting closer and closer to that. We're getting closer and closer to a one world money source. Amen. And things are just shaping up to where soon I believe the trumpet is going to sound. Now, that shouldn't discourage you as a Christian. That should excite you as a Christian. Amen? Yes. And it just depends on how you look at things. So, we should be joyful in our outlook on life. Now, look, he says, look at verses 4 through 6. He tells us how to sing. I like this. He says, make a joyful noise. He said that to us over here in the verse 1 of chapter 95. You know why he said that? Because God knew all of us couldn't sing very well. Now, a lot of us can sing well, but he didn't say you had to sing well. He just said, make a joyful noise. Amen? Now, I'm going to say this, and I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyways because it makes good sense. We went to a ball game yesterday, and my son Cameron plays on a ball league, and they played the deaf school yesterday. If you've never seen, and I'm not belittling in any way deaf people tonight, but I want to make a point this evening. Have you ever seen deaf people get excited? And I don't even know that they always know that they're making a noise. Amen. But sometimes you can just see their excitement. And every once in a while, you can hear their excitement. Amen? And to us, it sounds kind of strange. But I'll tell you one thing. To them, they're happy. They're joyful. They're making a sound. Amen? They're speaking out in a way that, you know, you and I don't understand, but yet they're making a noise. And I'll tell you, it's exciting to see that kind of thing going on. So the Scripture says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise. Let me ask you a question. How come Christians, when you get them into a church setting, especially Baptists, and I don't know why it's Baptists are this way, but you bring them into a setting like this and set them in a pew in a church building, you can't hardly get a peep out of them. Amen? But you take them to a ball game, get them excited over a team, and I'll tell you what, you can't hardly shut them up. Amen? Isn't that the way it is? How come we can't get that excited about serving the Lord Jesus Christ and Christianity and the things of God? Amen? Why can't we get together and just really have a good time? Now, I don't mean we need to get together and just make fools of ourselves. I think we should respect the house of God. I think we should reverence the house of God. But I also think we can get excited in the house of God. Amen? And so I think it's a neat thing. And so he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and all the earth make a loud noise, and rejoice and sing praises. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and with the harp, or with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of the cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. And so we see here the idea of how we should sing with our voices accompanied by these instruments that he's mentioned right here. But listen, how come we don't do that? Or how come we don't do that enough, I should say? I'm kind of directly involved tonight in helping with the choir at Unity Baptist. So I feel a little odd in saying this, but I'm going to say it anyways. You know, it's very difficult sometimes to get people that have a wonderful ability to sing and praise the Lord with their voices, and many people with a wonderful gift, but yet we're not using it for our Lord. Amen? We're not using it to bring glory to Him and to show our joy and blessing others because of how excited we are for the Lord. So we see what to sing. we see how to sing. Now, why we should sing. Look at verses 2 and verse 3. Verses 2 and 3, he says, "The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." Now, aren't you glad that salvation is not for one particular nation or one particular group of people or for a particular called out individual? Salvation, thank God, is for whosoever. Amen. We went to a picnic recently, and I noticed a bunch of people at this picnic were wearing a t-shirt, and it just asked the question, "Are you a whosoever?" And I thought, that's a pretty neat t-shirt. I'm a whosoever. Amen. I've once invited Jesus Christ into my heart, and he saved my soul, and he changed my life. And you know the funny thing about Christians? Many of them, their lives have been literally changed, but they don't live like their lives have been changed. Amen? They don't show excitement like their lives have been changed. And I mean, Christians need to show that excitement. What a better witness than for a Christian to get excited about what God has done and is currently doing in their lives. Amen? You know, the car may be breaking down. The house may be needing painted. The plumbing may not be working like it's supposed to. The financial matters may be stacking up in a way that we can't understand or even get a hold of. But yet still a Christian can look beyond all of those problems and see the wonderful life that he has because of his salvation that he has received from the Lord Jesus Christ when he accepted him as his personal Savior. And we should be glad about that. And so thank God his salvation thank God for our salvation. And by the way, let me just say this. You know, that's something that we Christians need to learn to do. I don't do it enough. I need to say this because I don't want Brother Richard to be upset at me tonight. But I need to do it more. We all need to express our gratitude openly. You know, thank God for my salvation. Amen. Express that. Oftentimes the pastor at the end of the service will ask, "Are all hearts and minds clear? Or is there anything anybody wants to say? Or does anybody want to give a testimony?" And I wonder sometimes why we as Christians aren't eager to let folks know how joyful or how excited we are or how happy we are that in spite of all of these problems that we face, in spite of all of these things that life seems to send our way, or even the discouragements that come our way, we can still find joy in our salvation. And we should. We should find joy in our salvation. So we sing because of our salvation or the great redemptive work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. And also, he shows us in verses 7 and 8. He says, "Let the sea roar, let the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together." Have you ever just walked outside, no matter where you're at, doesn't matter if you're standing in the city or standing out in the country, no matter where you're at, have you ever just walked outside and just looked at God's creation? I'll tell you, that ought to get any Christian excited. Amen? Just look at the things that God has created and made available to you and to I. And begin to think about the things that God has placed strategically around us to take care of us, the trees that provide the oxygen. Amen? And you could go on and on and on. How many of you have just taken time to breathe and think about the provision or how God was in just that one little breath that you just took? God just provided that. He provided the oxygen. He provided the all that it took to for me to be able to take that one more breath. And that ought to get you excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, not only why to sing, but when to sing. This is where we fall short. You think we should get excited as Christians? Do you think it should only be at certain times? You see, look at verse number 9. He says, before the Lord. Verse number 8, leading up to this, verse 7 and 8, talks about seeing God in the creation. Then verse number 9, he says, before the Lord, for He cometh to judge the earth, the righteousness shall He judge the world and the people with equity. And so, you know, we as Christians, we should be anticipating the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you agree with me about that? The Apostle Paul taught us that, and I believe that we as Christians need to be anticipating the fact that He is coming. He is coming. One day, a long time ago, there were some prophets of old who told the world that a Messiah was going to be born. Amen? And so many years past that, the Lord Jesus Christ was actually born. We're getting ready to go through the Thanksgiving, and then we'll usher in the Christmas season, of which I believe has gotten way too commercialized. But nevertheless, we're celebrating the birth of our Savior. Amen? And, you know, the birth was told about long before he actually came and was born through a Virgin Mary. And I can only imagine what the people on the earth at that time, prior to the events that were centered around Mary and Joseph and all of that, and Jesus actually being or Mary being with child with the Lord Jesus Christ. But before that, you know, that maybe the prophets and those that were out proclaiming the word, saying a Messiah is going to be born one day. And you know, after a while, sometimes you keep hearing those things over and over again, and you go, well, it hadn't happened yet. You know, and we kind of, that's not sort of a thing we can get discouraged about, right? Hadn't happened yet. And, you know, the world probably got at that point to the place where they were wondering, is it ever really... By the way, the Jews, the Jewish nation is still expecting the Messiah to be born. And they haven't come to the acknowledgement of the of Jesus being the Messiah at this point. But can you think back to that time before Christ was born and imagine what the mindset of the people was and how they were living? And you know, they've been telling that story for all of these years. You know, it's getting kind of old, and then all of a sudden He was born, and the world got excited. Amen. A Messiah has been born, and things are going to change around here. And so the Messiah was born. Jesus was born. He lived on this earth for 33 and a half years, and then He died on the cross, right? Lived His last 3 and a half years ministering in the world as He was teaching his ways, and then went to the cross of Calvary, and then rose again. Went, ascended to the right hand of the Father and began the work that He was going to do there. And He's been there ever since doing that work. And here we are again. The preachers, like myself, get in the pulpit and preach the message. He is coming. He is coming. He is coming. And I'll tell you, years ago, you could preach the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can remember in my lifetime, just 20, 25 years ago, people, I am a little older than that, by the way, but those are just the years that I remember. But I can remember, you know, people being a lot more sensitive just in my lifetime to the preaching of the Word and the fact that Jesus is coming. And it seems like that churches revivals were more prominent. God was working more and more in ministries, and it just seems like we're getting farther and farther away from those things. And we're not looking forward to it. But do you want to know why I believe that's the case? It's not the world's fault. It's our fault as Christians. Because we have gotten to the place where we've become complacent, not as joyful as we used to be. I almost hate to use this illustration, but we just got a new dog. And, you know, isn't it funny? How many of you here have a dog? Raise your hand. I got a dog. We got a dog not too long ago, and I was preaching at a church away, and the guy got in the pulpit after I told him that. He goes, if you want to see whether he loves you more or your wife loves you more, he said, lock them both in a trunk for about 2 hours. And he said, open in the trunk of your car. And then he said, open the trunk of your car and let them both out and see which one likes you more. Right? Well, I probably wouldn't ever get my wife in the trunk of the car. But the point is this. The point is this. It doesn't matter what kind of a mood I come home in. I'm going to tell you something. That puppy is always excited. Always. Always glad to see somebody walk through the door. I mean, just excited. And I wonder today why we Christians can't get to the place. Now, we don't need to be jumping around like dogs, right? But I'll tell you what. We need to learn to have a smile on our face. Amen? We need to learn to be excited. We need to learn to be joyful. We need to learn to be happy in spite of all of our circumstances. Why? Because we've got so much to look forward to. Who was it, Jack Hiles, that said, had a guy, I don't even know the whole story, but the gist of it is this. He was in an elevator, and somebody pulled a gun on him, and he thought for just a moment what to say to that person. The guy said, I'm going to kill you. And he looked right back at the guy, and he said, you can't scare me with death. And he kind of diverted the whole situation. Why? Because he had a pretty good outlook on death. Amen? His circumstances weren't going to get bad at death. They were going to get good at death. Amen? They were going to change. And I'll tell you what, Christians have the ability, if they just really look at their situation and their life and what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the ability to really celebrate all of the time. All of the time. It was Brother Greg was teaching. I'm going to have to leave this microphone. He was teaching on Sunday, and I was enjoying it. And he left these papers here, Marriage and Betrothal in Bible Times. In the Bible time. In fact, the reason we left these up here is because, see, those of you that weren't here on Sunday night, we had a business meeting, and we've decided that all the people in our church are going to start, when they get engaged, they have to follow these guidelines now. Amen? And wouldn't that be neat if that took place? But, I was excited when I was listening to the way that in the Bible days that men and women got engaged and they spent so much time in anticipation of their wedding day, and so much work and effort went into it, and such a commitment was made, and I begin to think about the Christian life. You know, we've got a wonderful life after this world to look forward to. And you know, the Word of God teaches us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And and that in a way teaches us that we should put some stock in that. Amen. We should put some effort and some time into what we're to look forward to after this world. And my dad kind of shocked me today. I don't know, I got it stuck in my mind that he was 63 or 64 years old, and I asked him how old he was today. I don't know if he saw the look on my face, but he said, "I'm 68. And I was like, 68? Where did the last 5 years go? And it seems like it's going by so fast. I can remember when my dad was 35, and I thought he was old. And now I'm already 10 years older than that. And, life gets by us, if we're not careful, kind of quick. Amen? I can remember sitting down with a fella that used to go to the church I was pastoring in Northern Virginia. His name was Jimmy Jenkins. He was 84, 85 years old at that time. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But I can remember him sitting down. We used to go every Sunday, or every Wednesday. We would get up in the morning. We would go have a biscuit at Hardee's. Now, I would buy a biscuit at Hardee's, and he would bring a muffin from home and eat it at Hardee's because his wife wouldn't let him buy a biscuit because of his cholesterol problems and all that. We would sneak every now and then. But anyways, I can remember Brother Jimmy sitting across the table, and he would say to me, he'd say, "Brother Steve, seemed like just yesterday I was 50 years old." Then he said, "Now," he said, I'm in my 80s. And he said, "It just seems like time has just gone right by, just like that." Now he's with the Lord. And for some reason, I've just got this idea that time just doesn't bother him much anymore. Amen? Why? Because he's enjoying what you and I get to look forward to. And so, we as Christians, we should be excited, and we should not just coming to church. We preachers, we often talk to our people and say, "You should be excited when you come to church. You should have a smile on your face. Don't be the bad apple in the crowd that brings discouragement." But listen, it's far greater than that. We should be excited when we place our feet on the floor every morning of every day. We've got to learn to smile. We have a reason to live. Amen. Don't just sing here. Sing out there. Amen. I'll tell you, what a blessing to be able to live in this world, in this time, as a Christian. Let's stand tonight.